It's meeting time, ladies and gentlemen, and here's the Fred Waring Show, brought to you by the American Meat Institute. Welcome to the Fred Waring Show. Fred Waring and his Pennsylvanians broadcasting from the 8th Street Theater in Chicago, Illinois. And here to greet you is your host, Fred Waring.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming. I'm Bill Bivens, and this is Fred Waring and all the Pennsylvanians, I think. We're up and ready with another in our series sponsored Tuesdays and Thursdays at this time by the American Meat Institute. Where'd you sleep last night, Bill? In the ballroom?
Well, no, I had a little place out near the gutter.
A violinist who played for your mother and dad was one of the best we ever had. The great Paganini. That was his name. And yesterday we were discussing his fame. We told one of our fiddlers who said, "Oh, really? I'm pretty good, too. My name's Lou Ely." So now we'll play the theme song. And charm could use you. First off today, we're transplanting a little rhythm from Latin America to Chicago. It's called a little rumba number.
Singing, yeah, 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 ye
Now, let's see. Joe Marine's up. Joe reprises one of the best songs of 1946. To Each His Own.
A rose must remain with the sun and the rain, or its lovely promise won't come true. To each his own, to each his own, and my own is you. What good is a song if the words just don't belong? And a dream must be a dream for two. No good alone, to each his own. For me, there's you. If a flame is to grow, there must be a glow. To open each door, there's a key. I need you, I know. I can't let you go. Your touch means too much to me. Two lips must insist on two more to be kissed. For they'll never know what love can do. To each his own, I found my own, one and only you.
Thank you, Joe. Would you think it too personal of me, Bill, to ask why you're wearing that can opener?
Authentic can opener?
In your coat, yes. Why would you wear it?
Certainly, Fred. I mean, I don't mind you asking. It's just to remind me, to remind all our friends about the important part canned meats play in lightening their labors, you see. Now, ladies, you're asking for meat in cans today at five times the rate of 10 years ago. So no one needs to tell you, and certainly not to sell you. But we would like to remind you of the work the meat packing companies save you when you buy nourishing meat already cooked in cans. Incidentally, do you read the labels? Carefully, we mean. Well, the makers of these time-saving, money-saving meat foods want you to see what fine meats they're made of. You see, canned meats are an excellent example of the part played by meat packing companies. Their role is to convert available livestock into meat as you want it. Fresh meat, smoked meat, sausage, or meat in cans, and to transport it to stores where you shop. And for this service, they net a profit after paying all expenses of only a fraction of a penny a pound on the meat that you buy.
Now, that seems mighty reasonable, Bill.
I think so.
So much for meat. Now back to music. Big Joe, They Love Me in Cleveland Soja, gets out his guitar and elects to electrify it to the tune of Avalon. It's Avalon, folks. Thank you. travel on, believe it or not. Daisy and her dandelions take over the song that Daisy thinks her pals back on Broadway should be singing to her about now. Ain't you ever coming back? Ain't you? Ain't you?
Ain't you ever coming back, ain't you? Can't you see the difference it makes?
I'm half myself without your kisses.
One more night of doing without 'em will drive me crazy. Won't you make me smile again, won't you? Just a word is all that it takes. Your hello will let me know we're the same as we used to be. Oh, ain't you ever coming back to me? Ain't you ever coming back, baby? Don't say maybe.
She's been rehearsing and rehearsing all the time. She's ready with a new arrangement of a song called These Foolish Things.
daffodils and long excited cables and candle lights on little corner tables. And still my heart has wings. These foolish things remind me of you. How strange, how sweet to find you still. These things are dear to me. They seem to bring of smoldering leaves, the wail of steamers, who lovers on the street who walk like dreamers. Oh, how the ghosts of you
Joanne
say?
He says you better do it better than that or we'll ever get that job of that millionaire tonight. Try it again.
What did he say that time?
He said you're flat. Now get up to pitch.
What did he say then?
He says, watch your tone syllables, watch your enunciation. Please, try it again. Chester Gould, where do we go from here? Chester Gould. We have just presented a Mumbles Quartet. Now, where do we go from here, Chester?
Well, Fred, there isn't any place to go. They're perfect.
You like them?
They don't need a pencil and a piece of art gum. They're there in the
frames. They fit right into the frames, huh?
That's perfect.
Don't need any balloons written for them.
Absolutely not.
Chester, it's a wonderful new character, and we're very excited about it. What happens to Mumbles? We don't want to know in advance, necessarily, but really what happens.
Well, he leads a rather checkered career, and of course, when I say checkered, I use the term
bad
rather
checkered.
Loosely. But he gets his just desserts, and in the meantime brings Gould in about 2 months' paychecks.
Uh-huh.
I shouldn't have mentioned that.
No, of course not. Of course not. Syndicated mentioned that, should he? Well, Chester, this little girl, Kiss and Tell, she's good looking.
I was just watching Joanne Wheatley sing, and I think I'm going to give that girl a few pointers when I get back.
You did? Kiss and Tell, huh?
No, she hasn't quite got it.
No. Well, we'll work on it. We'll work with you on Kiss and Tell. Huh?
There's possibilities there, I think.
I think so, too.
Why don't we ask Chet how Sparkle Plenty's getting along?
Well, why are you concerned with Sparkle all the time?
Well, I love children.
Well, Bill, little Sparkle is just thriving and doing very fine for herself and is going to get a lot of Christmas presents.
She is?
And
Somebody asked me the other day if she would have a little brother or sister next year. And, of course, I can't answer that.
Well, of course not. They're not going to. Fine thing to say.
You know, I never know what's going to happen until I see the paper.
Why, naturally. Those of you who are listening don't realize, perhaps, I mean, some of you don't realize that we have Chester Gould here, the creator of Dick Tracy. When we were here last spring, Chester paid us a visit. And we invited him to come back today because, because he's a nice gentleman. He's fine-looking, but
right.
Doesn't look anything like those characters that we've met recently.
He doesn't look at all like B.O. Plenty.
No, not at all.
Oh, thank
you,
Bill.
In fact,
you,
he's a
I
lovely...
I always liked this man, Fred. This is Bill Bivens.
Well, now, I'd like a little of that myself. How do you learn to like Bill Bivens?
He says the cutest thing.
He does it, then.
Sure, boy.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I was just kidding about, of course, about not knowing what's going to happen. I do have a pretty good idea up to the first of the year.
You have?
Yes.
Well, Chester, could we get together on that?
Well, we've got a circulation department to keep up, Fred, and I just don't dare. My hands are tied.
Would you like a little bit of information about the Pennsylvanians? We have ordered all of the newspapers to be saved in my office. Every paper that comes out to be saved in my office and held till we get back because we can't keep up to date. And we're afraid to read one episode, fear we've missed four or five on the road, you see. We'll be out a month, and that office of mine is going to be loaded with papers. So we'll learn a lot. But somebody showed me this little character today, and I like that number.
Thank you, Fred. You say the nicest things, too.
Well, then maybe I could get a little advance information, huh?
Well, after the show, let's go in the back room here.
Yeah, all right. Chester, have you a new character lined up for the future?
Not beyond Mumbles.
Not beyond Mumbles.
I definitely have my hands full with Mumbles till the first of the year.
Oh, I think Tracy's going to have his hands full, too.
And, yes. Uh-huh. Yes, that's sure.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, I'm just going to let nature take its course.
I have a suggestion. Maybe if Tracy can't handle him, we can call in Cary Drake. He's a nice guy.
There is a fine detective.
Yes, he's a good detective.
He is.
And a handsome boy, too.
That's right.
I think his profile is not quite as determined as Dick's, but...
Well, I'll tell you why that is. We got there first with the chin.
That's
right. We got
right.
there first with the pencil.
Wonderful to have you, Chester. Do you like our Mumbles Quartet well enough to hear the rest of the song?
I'd like to hire them. I'm going to start a band myself and hire them.
Wonderful, wonderful. And remember your invitation to Shawnee. Come back.
Thank you.
Come back east this summer and bring your family, will you?
Boy, what an invitation.
Isn't that nice?
A good place to go, too.
Right. Start that old Mumbles Quartet again.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate, you hate to make him wait, but you gotta have another cigarette.
My mother named me Kiss and Tell, and all my life I did quite well until I met up with this gent called Mumbles. He stole my car, that mumbling bloke, and then what happened was no joke. My beautiful brand-new convertible went up and smoked.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Smoke it up, pop, pop, pop. And if you smoke yourself to death, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate, you hate to make him wait.
What does Mumbles say?
Mumble said it was very nice of Chester Gould to come around here, and we thank him very much. And now you fellas get back to singing your song.
Smoke it up, cause you gotta have another cigarette.
Now, Bill, have you ever tried to compose a meal in 6/8 time?
Most certainly, Fred, and you can bet your best baton that so have most of the ladies listening in right now, and successfully, too, with the help of thrifty, convenient, time-saving canned meats. Besides keeping them on the pantry shelves as an ideal reserve supply, why not include them more often as a regular, time-saving part of planned meals? So many of them, you know, are solid meat. And the American Medical Association agrees that meats in a can and other low-cost meats give you the same fine nourishment as more costly meats and save more time for living, too. Here's a dandy suggestion for tomorrow's lunch. Just the thing to warm up the family, make them feel good. It's a tamale quickie. Start the tamales heating in a double boiler, and while a can of chili con carne is bubbling on the other burner, when both are hot, ladle the chili into bowls and top each steaming bowl full with a tamale or two. Sounds good for a quick, nourishing, eat-and-run luncheon, doesn't it? Why not treat your family to it tomorrow noon?
Why not? That's practically cooking pizzicato, Bill. Just time now for Gordon Goodman and the Glee Club to sing Remember.
One little kiss, a moment of bliss, then hours of deep regret. One little smile, and after a while, a longing to forget. One little heartache left as a token. One little plaything
meats give you the same fine nourishment as all meat, regardless of cost. This reminder in the Fred Waring Show is brought to you by the American Meat Institute.
And this is Fred Waring. Thanks again for coming, and thanks to Chester Gould, who gives us what we couldn't do without, Dick Tracy. See you tomorrow. So long.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.